Bandwidth for this podcast is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iPhone LA Podcast, episode 76 for March 2nd, 2010, Frankenberry Cereal. This podcast is brought to you by GoToAssist. For your free 30-day trial, go to GoToAssist.com/Ally. All right, it's time for the iPhone LA Podcast, the show that discusses all things iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad, App Store. I'm Michael Johnston, and tonight I'm joined by Mr. Bill Palmer of BeatWeek Magazine. Hey, Bill.
Actually, we've changed it again. Now it's BeatWeek Magazine. It's a publication about birds. Sorry for the confusion.
And they have a new theme song. It goes like this. Bacaw!
And that was wonderful.
I can't wait to get a recording of that little sound segment right there.
That's going to be a ringtone. No problem.
We can charge $3 for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, send the money to Jeff Gamet of the Mac Observer.
But does Apple allow sexually suggestive ringtones?
Yeah, anything with Jeff in it is a little bit suggestive. And that's why this podcast is the next to go.
How many times this week has Jeff hit on me over Twitter? I mean...
Yeah, is that a thing?
Twice, I think.
I've lost count.
Okay.
I'm not telling you to stop. I'm just saying I've lost count.
And on the facepalm is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam.
Yep, I'm here.
You're facepalming already?
I'm just, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, we opened by starting with, we were talking about Star Trek, so what should we talk about first? The faulty iPhone hardware? I feel like we've done this story before. I feel like this is a repeated story from several months ago. But essentially, the guys,
we're not talking about blowing up iPhones again, are we?
No.
The science lab that melted his, or the AT&T propaganda that says AT&T's crappy network is iPhone fault?
Yeah, the part about the crappy network being the iPhone's fault.
Okay.
Yeah, so that comes from an unknown source from within O2,
well,
saying, yeah, totally, saying that the issues that AT&T is seeing with the iPhone, those are due to the way the iPhone is set up to power manage, because basically the iPhone does this weird thing where every time it's finished with sending and receiving data, it turns off the connection to the tower. And that totally throws them off unless they're configured for that, and I guess they're not.
Okay, so, now when you say it does this weird thing, what you really mean is it does the normal thing that all of the modern smartphones do.
Yeah, so all the modern smartphones are now adopting that.
All I typed in my notes after reading that story was LOL. It's Apple's fault, right? And O2 backing up AT&T, I mean, they're not even on the same continent, and it still shows how deeply in bed with each other these carriers are, because, well, O2 is sure hoping AT&T doesn't upgrade their network, because if they do, then O2 might have to finally put some money into theirs. So, gosh, you know, how dare they? Next, they'll get rid of the floppy drive, and that'll be Apple's fault, too.
Yeah, okay, but this is an actual problem, though.
Yeah, it's a problem, but since Bill brought up O2, I'll jump right back to that part. O2 figured out how to deal with this problem right away. They fixed it, and they've told AT&T what the fix is, and it's not a huge thing to do.
Yeah, but O2 would get in trouble with their government if they didn't fix it. There are no laws on the books here about carriers having to do anything. So,
right.
It's not like O2 is sainthood. They'd just probably get fined $1 billion if they played those same kind of games over there.
No, they'd get fined £1 billion.
Or a billion euros or a billion francs or... Franken, whatever they're using. This
yeah,
word.
They
Frankenberry
they
cereal.
Use Frankenberries now.
Yeah,
I didn't want to go there. I stopped myself.
No, that's fine.
You know, I'm there for you.
You know whose fault this is, though. It's the customers, because if they didn't need to have phones that could actually make it through a whole day without needing to be recharged, then we wouldn't need these power management.
If people would just stop making phone calls all day on their iPhones, God, why would? What would make anybody think it was for phone calls? It's called the
something.
Maybe if we just had like teletype stations that we could go to and send those little wiregrams that they do with Morse code. would only that actually
some kind of telephonic device?
I think there's an app for that.
That would
actually
never catch on. That's just crazy talk.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the you know, what's what, where's
where
the beef?
Where are we going with this story? Where is it? The answer is, look, modern smartphones need to have, you know, really good power management, and this was a methodology that Apple employed. It sounds like other smartphone companies are employing, and the phone companies are playing their typical thing, just like Bill was pointing out. You know, it's sort of like, okay, well, it's the phone's fault because we don't want to upgrade our network, or we don't have the money to upgrade our network, or whatever the business rationale is, right? So, you know, we're in the same old argument that we're in a million other areas. This one happens to be around, you know, connectivity and power management in the phones. But, you know, insert other argument here on why AT&T sucks and why it's Apple's fault and why Apple says it's AT&T's fault or O2's fault or whatever. Right?
To AT&T's credit, they've done a massive amount of network upgrading to try to keep up.
Absolutely.
The bizarre part is apparently they've upgraded their networks to faster speeds and didn't bother to upgrade them to modern, you know what I mean? So it's sound like just incompetence. So they did all this upgrade work, now they're going to do it again because they upgrade them wrong.
Yeah, but you've gotten to the source of Michael's deja vu, because we did have this conversation, but it was about AT&T at the time, right? And it was probably due to the same technological problem. And exactly what you said, Bill, is probably correct, that O2's going, oh, crud, AT&T's upgraded their network. They're not having the problem now. Now we have the problem, so we're going to give the same argument and you know, do the same finger pointing, right? Because we don't want to upgrade our network, or we can't, or whatever.
Well, okay, Jeff, you mentioned that O2 has disclosed what needs to be changed to AT&T, right?
Right.
And do you know what the extent of that is?
No, but it's for a company of that size, it's a relatively trivial fix.
Is it like a software thing, or do they have to actually go to each tower and fix it?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it's all about the handshake that happens when the 3G data connection is initiated.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the crux of the problem. And from O2's perspective, it wasn't a major thing to fix. So I'm assuming it's either something that happens not at the towers but at the main stations, or happens at a software level.
When you said handshaking, I had a flashback to my 900 baud modem.
You had a 900 baud? Oh, yeah. Man. Dude, you rock.
Oh, no. I've been using it up until last week.
What's a modem?
Says the 23-year-old.
It's how we used to.
I was your age.
I know what a modem is. Okay, so
to dial up to the internet just to get your email.
We should move on to the related story. AT&T's microcells. They're expanding the availability of those, not drastically, only in several more areas of the country. I believe they started in North Carolina. They're expanding the availability in North Carolina, and they're adding Georgia, South Carolina, San Diego, and Las Vegas.
And Las Vegas.
Adam, are you going to get one? Have you checked your zip code yet?
No.
No?
No. I don't have a problem with my coverage. And two, yes, I want, please let me give AT&T more money so that I can let them use my cable connection that I also pay for to make my 3G phone calls.
Is this like an IQ test? You buy this in your I don't
get that one. If someone can explain it to me, I would appreciate it. I guess if you don't have coverage in your house, this becomes very important. But it's still like a slap in the face. It's like, are you kidding me? So you can't give me coverage. So your solution is that I pay you for a box and pay you some sort of fee, and you use my cable connection or DSL connection that I pay for so that I can make my phone calls to my device that I pay you for.
Sounds to me like you have a pretty firm grasp on how it works.
You could go to work for one of these companies, I think, because, you know.
Okay, so how much do these microcells cost? Is it like $100 or something like that?
Somewhere I thought it was like 150.
$150, yeah, bucks, and do you know what the monthly charge is? For that? Is there a monthly charge? I didn't realize there was a monthly charge for this thing.
Well, there'd be no reason to be, but that wouldn't stop them.
Right, of course.
Yeah, I don't know
if they should be subsidized. Your monthly 3G cost for your iPhone should be wiped out.
I thought there was some sort of charge to your bill as well, but
it totally is.
It could be wrong.
We are so good at this right now.
Yeah, we should have done that.
I actually typed in my notes, I'm just being way too honest on this one. I actually typed, am I supposed to care?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the problem, Michael. I mean, your question to me, am I going to get one? I read as far as, oh, they're rolling them out in San Diego, and oh, it costs $150, and it's like, it never made any sense to me. So it was kind of a non-starter.
Okay, it's $150, and there's no monthly fee.
Okay, but still, I'm paying for my cable connection, which is because it hooks up to the Wi-Fi, right, and then uses VoIP or some sort of technology or.
Yeah, it hooks up to your internet, and then it uses, it sends it out as a 3G signal.
So basically, I'm still paying that $30 and then using that for my phone calls. Well, guess what? I have Skype.
Yeah, but it's definitely something that's useful for some people.
I can make a call with it.
Yeah, but as long as most people continue to fall for this crap that the cell phone companies dish out, the rest of us can't do anything about it because they'll get away with it for as long as the public lets them get away with it. And most people look at this and say, oh, wow, look at that. I don't have 3G. I only have to pay this much. And, you know, without even understanding what Skype is or the fact that they could get the same thing for free,
And I guess if I actually used my phone for phone calls, it might be worth it. But my iPhone is so much a data device as opposed to an iPhone. And so when I'm at home, it's on Wi-Fi anyway.
Okay. So
90% of the time. So, and I have, like I said, full coverage where I'm at. So I could see how if you in your house didn't have, and I know some people who don't have coverage who would love this microcell because they use their cell phone as their only phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have coverage, you don't have phone service. So I'm not in that situation. So it just doesn't apply to me.
Yeah. Okay. So to be clear, we're not discounting the microcell at all, right?
No.
It's a good thing, and other carriers have it too.
The edge case where it's useful, but to that point, I think it's really an edge case for deficient coverage that AT&T has. And so, really, is this solving the problem? Charging people? I mean,
I think they should give them away.
The people,
yeah.
These devices, in my opinion, they should be saying, "Oh, we're sorry, you don't have coverage. Here's a thing that will get you coverage."
Yeah, I agree.
You know, the way. Here's how I think AT&T could get away with charging for the microcell. If you were to say, okay, I want one, and I'm going to lock it down so only I can use it or only my immediate family can use it. Okay, great. Here it is, and you owe me $75. But if you say, look, I need a microcell, and I promise to leave it open so it extends the range of your network, so other AT&T users can take advantage of it, they should say, great, it's in the mail, and just send it to you.
Sure, yeah. How far does that go?
They'd have to go further. They'd have to pay me for extending their network. I'd want some sort of service fee back. It's like,
okay, well, and see, there's that too. That would be nice.
Or AT&T could do their one job and build some damn towers, I mean, it's like that same Promotions 11. It's like, you had one job, you didn't get it done. Literally, all they have to do is build a tower, and that's pretty much then they can go out to lunch the rest of the day. And they don't
even do that, right? They just contract with some church and bolt one on the side of their cross.
If not for the marketing, the propaganda, and the team of math nerds who figured out how to screw us on the bill, AT&T could be one guy sitting in his bedroom just hiring people over, monster.com to build towers. I should start my own cell phone company, actually.
You totally should.
Boy, this podcast took a bad turn right out of the gate.
Right, the point you invited me to be on. That was kind of the
No, we should. I totally derailed this podcast completely.
Okay. Because it was on the rails to start with?
I'm pretending.
Okay.
All right, so I have a Nexus One in my hand, and it keeps making beeping and buzzing sounds at me. How the hell do you make that stop?
You smash it.
Is this where we talk about why multitasking sucks now? Because you have stuff in the background running that you don't know about, and that's what's beeping?
I have no idea.
So you got, but you not you got a Nexus One?
I'm playing with one. Google sent me one to play with. It showed up this afternoon, so I pulled it out of the box, turned it on, and started messing around with it, and handed it off to a couple friends and let them play with it for a few minutes. And now that I'm playing with it again, that little scroll ball thing on the front is flashing, and then it keeps vibrating and making like little sounds, like it, as if it was a robot crab.
Is it counting down from 60? Because if it, you may want to run.
Or chuck it.
I'm just having a flashback to the one Star Trek movie. What's that noise? Why is it counting down?
Rap. Okay, I have to go. Bye.
Got rid of him, didn't we?
Okay. Okay, so, but have you really had any time to play with it?
Call Google support.
Okay, that's tough. That's mean.
is there a special irony that the company is now selling a phone and you can't call them on that phone?
That's awesome. So, yeah. All right. So if this thing keeps vibrating and beeping during the show, sorry.
No, we can't hear it.
Seriously, they are doing support now, right? Google took ownership of that.
Are they doing support?
A couple weeks ago.
I hope so.
Only 17 people bought the Nexus One anyway, so it shouldn't be that hard. It's not like they're doing Droid support. I mean, the Droid has sold fairly well. That would kill them if they did support on that, but no one's bought the Nexus One yet, hardly.
It's pretty, but yeah. Anyhow, this is an iPhone show, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Have you played with the Nexus One at all? You've had any time to do anything interesting with it yet?
I installed a Twitter client on it and tweeted from it a couple times.
Cool.
And I let it speak to me and tell me how to get to Starbucks.
Did that work well? Did you get one of the... do they have a car mount for that as well, for the Nexus One, or is it just the Droid?
I don't know. I should probably look in the box and see what else is in there.
There might be goodies. Okay, we should do a wrap-up of your opinions of the Nexus One next week.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Cool. Okay, so let's talk about sexy apps, right? Because that's the big deal. That's the big story with the App Store lately. And data from, what was it, appshopper.com has shown, a very interesting amount of applications have been pulled. So basically, about 100 apps are removed from the App Store on a general day. So they're either removed by the developer or by Apple. And on the day following, I guess it was the actual day that they announced that they were going to be removing the sexually explicit applications, 932 applications were removed that day. And then the following day, 4,000 apps were removed. So at some point, I believe it was last week, around 5,000 apps have been removed, and it didn't, according to App Shopper's data, it did not look like they were stopping with that. So they're still going through the App Store, removing applications. Now, the interesting thing about that is there was an explicit category added to the App Store for an application submission. There was an explicit category added to that for 3 hours. And then it was removed. And at this point...
I would say the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing, but that might be a really bad metaphor for the topic at hand. We just got the explicit tag too, didn't we? That was totally ad lib too.
I don't think we need to go any further. That was good, Bill.
Thank you. I'll be here all week looking for my apps.
Tip your servers. My big disappointment with this whole thing is I was working on the Shake Jeff's Pants Off app, and now I can't get it.
Apple doesn't rent pornos in the movie section. They've never done that. So, we allow that in society. You go to Blockbuster, you don't expect to find the porn. You'd have to go down in the street to the indie place. The difference here, though, is Apple's the sole proprietor of iPhone apps, other than a web app, which I guess you can still do. There's no other way to get an app onto the iPhone legitimately without hacking or whatever. Apple's basically put all these companies out of business, and I wonder if some are going to sue, not for censorship, but for breach of contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because they've literally just been bankrupted, most of them.
Well, they really couldn't sue for censorship because Apple can't censor anyone. They're not the government. But right. I could see some developers getting pissed off and filing a lawsuit.
Oh, yeah. I get email all the time from, most of the time it's not a sexy app developer, but sometimes I do get the sexy apps, and I've gotten a few talking about their plans and how much they've spent, and I've seen preview videos of things where they talk about how they've hired all these models and done all this stuff, and disregarding the actual content, it's unfortunate that all that hard work and money has just gone to waste now because of this. And I'm not saying that I support or I don't support the apps in the App Store. I feel like a lot of that stuff just contributed to clutter in the App Store. But at the same time, I feel like it's just not cool that Apple is telling us what kind of stuff we can have on our devices. And that's the big argument is with most people, I feel.
Yeah, that's a thing that I had been complaining about from the very beginning when Apple announced the App Store and that they were going to vet apps, is that, you know, this whole concept of having some sort of gatekeeper, I don't like. But honestly, I like the iTunes Store. Here's the irony of the whole thing. Those 5,000 apps went away. Guess what? I don't care. It didn't impact me one bit. But I do, like you're saying, feel for these developers who spent time and money. And then on the flip side, I'm so bipolar about this whole issue. On the flip side of that, I think, you know what? Those ideas, though, didn't go away. The ideas for those apps, all the planning, the hiring the models, if they took pictures and images and things like that, none of that went away. And there are a bunch of other platforms now, the Androids, the Palms, that have open app stores. They can just rejigger. It might not be easy, but they certainly can rejigger and take those apps over to those platforms, right? Sure. And I think that Apple might argue, just say, well, hey, there you go. You know,
it won't save them. None of those platforms is big enough anyway.
Well, this gets
okay, but you know that's a debate of business, right? They want to be on the iPhone. Well, then Apple's going to say, "Well, this is what we've decided. We're a private company, and we made this decision." You know, it does suck. I agree, it sucks that they allowed all these apps in and then suddenly purged them. You know, just one day Apple decides to change their mind. But that's the danger, and I don't think anybody could argue or say that they didn't think that possibly could happen with Apple. You know, Apple has not been transparent about what the rules and the guidelines are since day one.
Yeah.
So I don't know why it would be surprising to anybody that Apple could, any developer I would warn that's doing an app on the iPhone, at any moment Apple could go on a whim and say, oh, you know, we're not going to allow this type of game app. We're not going to allow that kind of app, you know?
Right. But
there's nothing to stop them from doing it.
The fine line, though. Is like, I mean, you know, here we are. I think all of us are saying we're kind of glad these apps are gone on a personal level. They were crap. They were degrading, whatever. Or at least some of us will admit to it publicly. But, you know, but let's say tomorrow Apple launched a competitor to Twitter or bought, you know, Jaku or something. And then Apple decides Twitter is the enemy and removes all the Twitter clients. Now all of a sudden we're all outraged and we're screaming bloody murder. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As end users.
No. Yeah.
So it's a tough kind of, you know, yeah, I mean, our society, most of our society kind of agrees that, you know, pornographic content should be limited into some kind of sidecar or something, you know, where it's not in the mainstream. But how far does that go? You know, and of course, different parts of the country all have different mindsets. So you wonder, you know, there's probably people in the Midwest that are cheering this and people in Hollywood that see it as an outrage. So, you know, it's tough to say, and not that I expect Apple would ever yank the Twitter apps anyway. They're not that ambitious, but
right.
You know, you never know where the line is going to be drawn with this stuff.
Well yeah, once they start censoring things, it becomes difficult to decide what does get in the store and what doesn't. And they're censoring not only just from a business level at this point, it's now a moral thing.
Well, and they're not even doing it. They're not even doing it even-handedly, which is where the real outrage comes into play, right?
Because, right, with the Sports Illustrated
stuff. Hey, guess what? Playboy's still on there and Sports Illustrated and, you know, a million other apps that could fall in the same categories as some of the ones that got pulled. So it's really Apple's discretion, and this is what I think the developers are raging against, and why it's really egregious is because how are they to know? And oh, guess what? If I had a big publishing house behind me that Apple's trying to do an iPad deal with, well, then my app might still be in the store. But guess what? I'm a small indie guy, and so I'm out. And then my bipolarness comes back in and says, well, you know what? It's Apple's company. They can run it the way they want. And so I have the kind of what I think is right side, and I think Apple is done a very poor job
with
this whole situation. But then I have the business side, and then looking at the Apple side, they have customers complaining about these apps. They they have to, you know, they feel they have to do something and they make a business decision to go a certain route. And it's certainly their prerogative to do that. Do I have to agree with it or like it? No, not necessarily. And I, you're right, Bill. I don't miss those apps, but I think they should have a right to be in the App Store or at least sold some way to people who do want them.
On an iPhone.
To your earlier point. Yeah, to your earlier point of the videos, I can't get it at Blockbuster, but guess what? I can go down the street if I want that content and I can get it.
Yeah, and this is where I'm curious as to at what point will Apple do something where it will upset enough developers where we're going to see some change? Because I feel like the only, you know, after the whole sexy app debacle thing, the only route I see eventually working for the App Store and the iPhone and third-party applications is what Paul Kafesis said, is essentially we need to have two methods of distribution for the apps. One mm-hmm. would be the App Store, where Apple can just be as nutty as they want and decide what apps get in and what apps don't, and that's fine, because that's the exclusive Apple App Store. But then I also feel like the applications should be distributed by third parties from the website. So if you go to a website and it says, hey, you know, you can download this application, but it's not sanctioned by Apple. And even the phone can say, this is not an official, you know, in the App Store application. Are you sure? And I think that even the Android does the same thing, right?
And wouldn't that be a happy little world where ponies eat rainbows and poop butterflies? But it isn't going to happen.
That's the world that Jeff lives in.
You know, it's not in Apple's DNA is all I'm going to say about that. I that's what I think should happen too. I'm in agreement with Paul on that. But guess what? Apple doesn't operate that way, and I certainly wouldn't hold my breath. I talked a little bit about this on my show. It's just like that's what I'd like to see happen, but Apple don't operate that way.
You know, the typical user doesn't heed warnings. They look at it, blah, 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 blah. They click the default OK button, whichever's blue and flashing, and they go on their business. And that's kind of been proven on the Android. Everybody's screwing up their own phone, and then who do they blame? They blame Android. And, you know, I mean, Apple is protecting itself in a way by anything that goes wrong with a unsanctioned app that they allow on there. Even if they put up 17 warning messages, the user is still going to blame Apple.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
unless
this is
we're not going to do that because we understand that. But someone who's just bought an iPhone, you know, average user, regular person.
But this is
they blame Apple for everything that goes wrong, or AT&T, you know. But I mean, anything, any app that does anything on the iPhone, it's going to be blamed on Apple. So I could totally understand why they, you know, just for practical reasons, they don't want the sort of anarchy that you have on the Android side.
This is I think it's a developing platform, though. It's an evolving platform. We, you know, the original iPhone didn't have any third-party applications. We now have third-party applications, and it's just not working. The applications are outgrowing the store. They outgrew them, you know, a year ago. And we're eventually going to see a change, I feel like. We have to see a change where something similar to what Paul has mentioned needs to happen.
It's a percentage. It's a percentage game, and the way Apple looks at it. So you have to think about the way Apple looks at it. Is they're more about we want a certain experience, and we want it to be this seamless, and we want it to be to the points Bill was making. It has to be so dead simple and uncomplicated and unfettered that Apple will risk pissing off 10% of developers and people and. You know, and they will just turn to those people and literally say, hey, go to the other platforms. We, you know, this is how we're running things. You're in or you're out. And Apple has operated like this for years and years in lots of areas. And they're not going to change overnight. And to my earlier point, I mean, as much as we want to dream it, I would like to see that. But they're just going to say, you know, get another phone, get another service. That's fine. You go over there. You develop on that platform. And we're going to do our thing over here. You either buy into that ecosystem or not. And a lot of people don't like that. But guess what? A larger percentage, and Apple really believes this, a larger percentage do like that. So the tech geeks and the people like us, we're gonna say this really sucks. But 80, 90, I don't know what the percentage is, other percentage of iPhone owners are going to go, this is perfectly fine. I'm happy in this little world.
I'm just thinking that we're going to
totally hit it on the head. What it comes down to is either you accept it for what it is, or you suck it up and move on. The bottom line is, no developer has a right to have their application at the App Store. And I bet I'm going to get emails about saying that, but it's true. There's no right for any developer to have their app at the App Store. This is Apple's own game. They control every part of it. They can do any damn thing they want. They can approve or not approve any application. They can pull any app anytime they want, and you just have to suck it up and move on. Well, that's because they control the whole thing.
The difference between, you know, the App Store and what's happened in the past with Apple is that, you know, the OS, the Mac OS is somewhat open, where an application can be featured by Apple, but you can still get that application. So we're talking about people's livelihoods and money and time spent on developing applications. I just feel like at some point Apple's just going to make some decision that's going to upset so many application developers, they're just not going to continue developing for the store, and either it's going to turn into some kind of crap store where nobody really gets a lot of benefit out of using the apps in the App Store. Or they need to do something that solves this issue, either with maybe a premium app store where you go and say, oh, these are all the special apps that Apple's, you know, especially blessed or whatever, and have the rest of them outside of that.
But, you know, as much as I love you, Michael, mm-hmm. you're wrong.
Okay.
if Apple gave the finger to Google and it didn't happen, you know, who are they going to do it?
That's true. Most app developers too busy ringing the cash register to be upset with Apple, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the death sentence for this handful of developers is a problem. These developers will be pissed. They will be heard. But as long as Apple isn't giving the death sentence to more than about 1% or 2% of developers or whatever, it's just the outrage just isn't going to be there from enough of a majority, because if you're the one person who's getting screwed, you can't get the other 100,000 to back you up unless they're about to get screwed too. Unless they've already gotten screwed and you can't convince them. You know what I mean? It's hard to unite with your competitors against a common enemy when that enemy is something that the rest of them all need.
You know, the other thing I heard about a lot of these 5,000 apps is that there were a certain percentage of them, supposedly, that, you know, like one developer, it was 1,000 apps. You know, they were just turning out one of these after another in a different form and flavor and throwing it up on the store as fast as they could. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'd be curious to know, I haven't seen the numbers, how many actual developers had their apps ousted versus just the pure number of apps.
I want to know if there's going to be any process to get back in. I mean, let's say you make a movie, you send it to the ratings board, it comes out NC-17, they'll come back and say, well, this sex scene was too long, the F word is too many times, or whatever. You can try to go back and get an R rating, you know, because you can't get into any major movie houses in NC-17. Is there going to be a process where these companies can go back to Apple, scale down their app some way to get it back in the App Store because it's, you know, like it's an R-rated app instead of an X-rated?
I'm betting there will be. It's just not there yet.
Well, did it already happen with some of the apps? It seems like I didn't pay attention to these before, but you know, the wobbly apps. There's one called like iWobbler. There's some wobbly app that's back in there right now. And I was reading through the description, and they're like it specifically lists now in the description, doesn't come with any preloaded images, doesn't, you know, and all the artwork and the icon are all safe. The screenshots are all safe. And I had read that some developers were getting sort of a list of things from Apple saying, okay, you can't have these things in your screenshots. You can't have this kind of image on your icon. If you change these things, you can resubmit it, kind of thing.
Ah, okay. So that means that someone really could make a Shake Jeff's Pants Off app and potentially get it on the App Store. And by the way, I would laugh if that happened.
I bet it will happen. We have a lot of good listeners out there. Someone's going to do that, I know.
I don't even want to know what you're wearing under those pants. That's the problem.
Well, you know, considering the restrictions at the App Store right now,
you can choose your own.
Yeah, there you go. You could choose your own,
like a Mr. Thermal Potato underwear. Head thing.
Yeah, the big red onesie with the drop down ass flap and all that. Sure.
We're changing the podcast to explicit. I don't think we can handle the clean tag anymore. Okay.
Is there a Mr. Clean tag? We all shave our heads.
I don't know if we've kind of killed this topic.
I think we have.
But, you know, like I said, I'm totally bipolar on this. I want Apple to do the right thing, but I don't have any faith that in this instance they're going to change, because they just haven't. And this is the classic argument that people who don't like Apple will make, is say, you know, Apple will always make you do it their way and they don't let you think otherwise. And that's why we get labels of, you know, being zealots and the Mac faithful and all these other things. And you know what? A lot of us like it that way, though, because it just ends up being simpler.
But people are swarming to every new Apple product in huge numbers. Prices be damned, economy be damned, you know. So as long as there's that overwhelming tidal wave heading toward Apple, it's hard to imagine a tidal wave also forming away from Apple, or one that would be large enough to even be noticed in the other direction.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, they're like me, and I would rather just not see those apps in the App Store. So if Apple can be the bad guy for me and tell those developers they can have their apps in there, then I'm like, great. I don't have to see the screenshots. I don't have to see them gunking up the top lists when I really want to see some other app from a developer that I think is doing really great stuff. And so, you know, I see some benefits to that kind of content not being in there for me as a consumer. You know, as a person who believes that everything should be fair and developers should be able to do what they want, that really sucks. But, you know, there you go.
My bottom line is they're just being incompetent. They launch an explicit category and pull it 3 hours later. Some boss didn't know what some underling was doing, and this has been going on a lot lately. And, you know, this is not something you expect from a Steve Jobs-run company. So who is running Apple right now? Steve just working on the iPad. Who's running the train?
Do we really think Apple – I brought this up on my show too. I mean, do we really think Apple would even consider or run a red light district in their app store and just have a checkbox that says, hey, all these apps are going to be in this space, and if you want them, you can go into there? I don't even believe that they'll do that.
But it must have been discussed at some point. Otherwise, how would this person who greenlighted it, you know, must have had the framework there. So
yeah, no, I think they were considering it, but, you know, just based on what happened, it seems like it got vetoed.
Yeah, it sounds like they made their decision.
And I think, again, it comes back to, you know what, it's just easier, and this is such a small percentage. I mean, there was a big outcry in the media, but again, we're the people paying attention to this. The average consumer and the average person is not going to notice, and they're not going to care. They're happy with the other, you know, 140,000 apps that are still in there.
And I hate to say it, but someone who knows how to find porn on their computer knows how to find it on Safari on their iPhone. You know what I mean? So that the users may not care so much because they're still going to be easily able to find whatever they want to find. It's the developers that are, you know, that are going to be the ones that are kind of screwed. And,
yeah,
there are choice of words, but
can I just say that there are a lot of applications in the App Store that are totally superfluous, in that if you're a website that has some kind of content to offer and you decide to go create an iPhone application simply for the use of going to that site, I feel like you should instead just rewrite your layout for iPhone access.
There you go, Michael. And I think that's what you're going to see. You're going to see people taking the Google model with these apps. You know what? Just figure out some pay model that you can sell via the web with an iPhone formatted thing, and there you go.
There's already a sexy app store out there. Right. I don't remember what it's called, but there's a web app that you go and you add it to your Springboard, and it looks just like a Safari bookmark, but it pops open in a special little web browser, and you can do the sexy thing if you want.
Okay, yeah. You know what the irony is about where we're going with this now is that what Apple wanted originally was just web apps.
That's
for the
true.
iPhone.
Yeah.
And now we're saying, hey, why don't we just use web apps?
Well, that's what Google did, right? And I mean, and their stuff's been great. And I've been seeing some great websites. I had never browsed to Apple Insider on my iPhone before. Have you guys been to Apple Insider on your iPhone? Their web format, their iPhone format, excuse me, is awesome.
Yeah, you can do a really, really fantastic job with it. There's so many frameworks out there with JavaScript and things to make it behave just like an iPhone application. There's a lot you can do. I mean, just look at Google Voice. So
exactly, yeah, Google Voice rocks.
You know, web browsers were invented for reading. So, you know, it's ironic that we're now trying to invent app. I mean, to my mind, everything should be a real app except reading. Nothing should ever be done on the internet ever but reading in a web browser. I mean, even things like Facebook on your Mac is terrible on Facebook.com compared to, say, if we had a Facebook app on our Mac or PC. But even me with that extremist viewpoint, I still, when I want to read something, I want to read it on a web page. So it's funny that we're talking about websites where all you do is read stuff, you know, making apps.
And Bill, you still use that old modem, don't you?
I do. I also use Netscape 2.1
to read all of the internet.
I also read it in like ASCII type. You know,
that's the only way to go. Animated.
He uses links.
Yeah, I was going to ask if he was using links.
His handshaking is turned on though, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. All right. 16-year-olds
listening to the show, like, how old are those geezers? Are you like 100 years old?
We don't have any 16-year-old girls listening to this.
Uphill. I lived in Florida. We had hills then.
Okay. All right. We need to move on to some iPad stuff and some other cool stuff that's happened in the last week or so. But before we do that, we have to talk about our wonderful sponsor, Citrix, with GoToAssist Express. And we've talked about in the past how we support our family, but if you are someone who supports a large number of people, maybe you're in the IT space, or maybe you do some freelance computer help and that sort of stuff, you need to check out GoToAssist Express, because it allows you to remotely access clients' computers. All you have to do is send them a link, say, you know, they call you up on the phone, hey, I'm having an issue with this thing. Okay, go to this link, type in this number, and then you are seeing their screen. You're able to help them out. You can actually take control. You can chat with them. You can send them files and patches. You can actually do up to 8 different sessions. So if you're doing an update on one client's computer, you can go to the other client's computer and work on that. You can do, you know, mass updates of different computers if you want. You can do all that fantastic stuff. And it's very secure. It's 128-bit SSL encryption. You don't have to worry about security. It's incredibly easy, so you can, you know, your clients don't have to worry about, you know, downloading software or doing anything complicated. It's just a matter of clicking a link, hitting yes, and the software that does install on the client's computer that allows you to access it, it actually goes away as soon as you're finished. So it's totally transparent and doesn't leave extra stuff in the computer, so it's really easy for them on their side. And you can get a full system profile if you want, which is really cool, because it actually lets you get down to how many RAM sticks are in each slot, what speed they are, what model number, all that fantastic stuff. You can also see the running applications and processes. So if there's you know, some security software, you can see it and disable it and do all that stuff. You can try it free for 30 days. If you want to go to gotoassist.com/Allie, you get a free 30-day trial. You can you actually have to use your credit card to sign up for the trial, but you can disable the auto renew. So if you just want to do the free 30-day trial, that's what I've been doing, and I've been able to help out one of my cousins. She's been having issues with her Windows computer. I'm on a Mac, so I'm able to, you know, say, hey, go to this link real quick, and I can check out your computer. She, you know, doesn't have a whole lot of technical experience. I can send her that link and she doesn't have to worry about it. I see it. I fix the problem. I'm on a Mac. She's on a PC. It all works seamlessly. You can go back the other way around too. And you can try it for 30 days for free at gotoassist.com/Allie. And that supports the iPhone Allie podcast. And we thank them so much for that. And with that, what are we going to talk about? iPad stuff? There's just so much evidence that there's going to be video chat in the iPhone OS at some point. And
did you see the article? I think it just posted Sunday over on Ars Technica about the chip design, some specifics about the A4 chip design.
Yeah, that they're using the same CPU. That the iPad uses the same CPU as the iPod or the iPhone.
The GPU, yeah. It uses the same GPU, but no, there was a lot of speculation that PA Semi helped develop that chip, right? But it's looking like, according to this, I wish I could remember the author's name of the article, but according to his sources, that they probably didn't have that much involvement just due to timing, but that the A4 is actually based on the A8. Current ARM A8.
Yeah.
Designs, but then with a lot of stuff stripped out. So where this comes back to what you're talking about with the camera stuff. So we have seen all this evidence in the SDK and things like that. But in terms of what this guy was saying, he was saying that he thinks in the chip design, they likely pulled out a lot of the imaging capabilities of the chip because there is no camera in the iPad. So to kind of streamline the chip design, that the current chips don't even have, at least the A4 in its current iteration doesn't have the graphics processing stuff to even deal with that.
Yeah. Okay. So there was evidence that, you know, we're not sure what CPU they're actually using in the Apple branded A4 chip. But there's obviously stuff going on in the iPhone where they do have to use the camera and display that and take pictures and video and stuff like that. And did you see the report that it's possible that we'll see the A4 in the iPhone at some point, and that they're assuming that that's going to happen because of, I forget what I was talking about.
Oh, well, hoping.
Because they're hoping, yeah. It's essentially just the same processor, but it's clocked up higher, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. I thought this piece was interesting because this guy supposedly had been talking to people who were in the know about the A4 chip design. Obviously, he couldn't release the sources. I wish I could find. I'm going to try and find the article as we're talking here, but he was saying that, you know, for that reason, the A4 chip, in terms of it being in the iPod, future iPod or iPhone, excuse me, that he felt that more likely we would see the first PA Semi designed chip in the iPhone. So it wouldn't just be the iPad chip, because the iPad chip, according to his sources, was completely stripped down. It had some of the controllers taken out because you only need one USB controller. It's an interesting article if people haven't seen it. And I'm pretty sure it's over on Ars Technica, and it came out on Sunday. John Stokes.
Yeah.
Wrote the piece. And so it's very interesting. And so if what he's saying is true, if they did take out some of the image processing units out of the chip, then it couldn't just be adapted into the next gen iPhone, because it's not in the silicone to do the photo and video processing. So the silicone controllers and things just aren't there, because these chips are entire system on a chip.
Right. Yeah. So what's the advantage to removing that? It's just space on the die.
I think to his point, it was you know, efficiency of the chip. You don't need to have controllers in there that you're not going to use.
Sure.
So just take them out, and it makes a much more efficient chip. I think it likely has something to do with power consumption and heat and just performance. So they could eke a lot more performance out without, you know, those extra controllers and things like that are just sitting there idle.
Okay.
You know, the first generation is always going to be a compromise. I mean, the first gen iPhone didn't have 3G. The first iPod had like a black and white screen. So the first gen iPad is not what we're going to want it to be, nor is it going to be what Apple wants it to be hardware-wise. That'll come. It seems like the iPad's been around forever, maybe just because it was, you know, we heard the rumors for so long before it was announced. But this is still a first-gen product that's going to kind of suck compared to what the third generation is going to be when we look back and laugh at the first gen in a couple of years.
So that the A4 processor stuff, well, how does that relate to what we're seeing with all the video chat stuff? Because there's
it's
a lot
contradictory. That's what I'm saying. That's what's interesting about this piece, and that's the only reason I brought it up. Is
okay.
All this other evidence on the SDK side says, well, Apple was thinking about having a camera in there. So what it says to me is that they made the decision to not have the camera in at least the first generation iPad very early on, and why those references would have been left in the SDK. Because you would think the SDK would be coming along probably likely after
the
hardware.
So
maybe
yeah.
They're already thinking, here's a logical explanation. Apple's already looking to the next generation iPad, and they're already working on things in the SDK that are going to be for, you know, a future version of the iPad.
You know, to assume Apple isn't already working on the next generation iPad, I think would be foolish. Of
right.
course, by the time the first generation hits store shelves, you know they're already in development and design for what comes next. And of course, they'll refine that as they see how users take advantage of the features or bitch about features that aren't available in the current model.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's likely the case, because I would imagine that chip designs are solidified much, you know, pretty well in advance of you know, the SDK being written, put together.
Yeah, so that
would make sense.
So what they was it John Stokes in the Ars Technica article mentioned is that essentially what you said, Adam, is that it went without in that SoC design. It doesn't appear that there's anything in there for video or still image capture in the A4.
Yeah. I just thought it was a really interesting piece, and it came out late Sunday, so you know, I caught it then and talked about it on an extra show I did this month. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was interesting because it does contradict a lot of the other rumors that you're hearing out there about, you know, because there's still people that are hoping and thinking, oh, Apple will ship the iPad with a video camera.
Yeah.
And if this piece turns out to be true, it's not even technically possible for them to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because it has the, in the framework, there's an accept and decline video image in there, as well as some stuff that Erica Sadoun found of TUAW fame, just talking about looking for things like Flash, Zoom, and I think video chat as well.
I mean, the other thing we do have to remember too is very likely there's things in the iPad SDK and in the iPhone OS 3. It is the iPhone OS.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So we may be seeing this with the iPhone.
Yeah. Does the future iPhone have, you know, these kinds of functionality? Does it have a forward-facing video camera? I mean, that rumor's been out there for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that could be plausible. I
this
mean,
is
maybe
the first time we're seeing
there for
it
the iPhone.
In the SDK, just literally saying supports Zoom, has Flash, has front camera, you know. So this is stuff that may be more likely for the iPhone than the iPad, because as we've talked about before, it would be really awkward to have a camera in the iPad, either on the back or on the front, because if you're doing a video conference, you don't want to have to hold it up. And if you, you know, are taking a picture, it's just a large, awkward device to take a picture with.
Well, and here's another one. Aren't we hearing a lot of rumors, or I don't even think it's rumors. Didn't Apple say at a recent, Tim Cook said something at a recent conference that, you know, Apple, for its custom silicone and things like that, they do have plans for other kinds of devices. And there was this kind of generic, you know, other devices, which we would assume or imply not an iPad and not an iPhone.
Yeah, they're also...
So what other things could be, you know, you could use cameras that aren't an iPad or an iPhone and might run an iPhone OS.
Well, there you go.
iPod Shuffle.
Yeah, there have been job listings, or at least one job listing, saying that they're looking for someone to work on the iPhone OS for, you know, it implied that it was for devices other than the iPad and the iPhone.
Okay, so
that's where it was. That's where the reference was. Thanks for
the job listing.
Yeah, catching that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go out on the limb here, which means that whatever I say is probably going to become the exact opposite of what Apple actually does.
Are you wearing pants on that limb, though?
Well, it depends on whether or not I can get that through the App Store. Okay, so what I'm thinking is that the whole idea of the video chat and camera thing in the iPhone and the iPad is totally wrong. I think people just so desperately want to see those features on the devices that they will look and build the trail from the pieces they find to support their dream. I don't see the whole camera thing and the video chat thing happening on either of the devices. It doesn't make sense to me on a handheld device, because whoever's watching you is going to get sick as you're bouncing the camera around trying to hold it still so they can see your face. Now, the idea that Apple is working on other devices that would rely on iPhone OS, totally plausible. And if one of those devices is some type of appliance that sits on your desk and lets you do video chatting, okay, I can totally see something like that happening. But if you're looking for it in the iPhone and the iPad, I think you're going to be very disappointed for a very long time.
And does anyone really think that, you know, video conferencing would be any good over 3G? I mean, it's kind of like when Jason Calacanis did his thing, The Hoax, where he pretended he had an iPad for a week.
Yeah.
I bought into it until he said, video conferencing looks great over 3G. And I thought, he's making that up. You know, I mean, why would he have nothing negative to say about that? Obviously, it's not quite there. And, you know, Apple doesn't like to do those kind of things until they know it can be good. And Apple still has no control over the crappiness of the 3G network.
Well, and you guys are bringing up, you know, the argument I was making earlier about the banned apps, right? And that is that what is the real percentage of people that want to do this stuff? When we say everybody wants video chat in the iPad or wants video chat on their iPhone, but what really is that everybody number? And I'm going to give an example. You know, I was one of those people out there bemoaning, well, my iPhone does MMS and we need to have MMS, and I don't understand why I don't have MMS. And you know, ask me as the tech weenie I am, how many times I've used MMS on my iPhone since getting
still emailing photos, right?
Yeah.
I use MMS a lot. I use it regularly.
I don't even use email photos. I send people a Flickr link. You know, it's just like, I don't use MMS, right?
You know,
but
MMS.
But I whined about it and said, oh, everybody wants MMS. Well, I don't
use it. Video on their iPhone. I'd love to know of all the people who complained about not having video on their iPhone, how many of them have ever used it more than once ever now that they bought a 3GS? I bet it's a real small percentage.
I use it on occasion, but you know, not as much as the camera, and I don't even use the camera that much. You know, I have a point and shoot that takes better pictures. So, I mean, all of these things come down to, and this is what Apple knows, and this is why Apple will turn to you and say, you know what, we know what you want, and we know what you want better than you do, because they... They're thinking about it rationally. They're going, nobody, if exact thing that you're bringing up, Jeff, nobody wants motion sickness, you know, video of somebody carrying around their phone doing a video chat. No one wants to see your mug anyway. They prefer just to talk to you on the phone, and probably better yet, prefer just to get an email.
Yeah, but there are people who would use that and who do use
there
the,
are,
that
but
video
it's a
chat
small percentage. And this is where Apple plays the percentage game, and they say, well, that's 1%.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
those
totally.
1% can go someplace else.
Yeah, that's how they obviously justify their feature rollouts for the most part.
Okay.
But there are definitely people who use video chat. There are definitely people who use MMS. I use it a lot.
Absolutely.
And the copy-paste thing, you know, these are features that I'm very happy to have in there, but it's, you know.
I use copy-paste every day. I mean, that I'm not giving up. That was stupid not to be in there from day one. And, I'm still
and yet I've
that.
Never used it.
Really,
ever.
Bill?
I, you know, I tested it out of.
20 times a day.
Yeah, I use copy and paste all the time. And I was sitting here, so yes, thank whoever developed that feature. Thank you. Now, as far as the whole MMS and video thing go with the iPhone, I was sitting here thinking about, now, exactly how does that play into my world? Because I get a lot of MMS stuff, but I don't really send stuff. And it finally clicked. My friends drunk MMS stuff to me.
All the time.
See, and I have Twitter for that, right?
Yeah.
Well, Jeff gets drunk
tweets,
too.
So the things that they still are just sober enough to realize, maybe I shouldn't send this photo out to Twitter. They'll MMS it to me instead. And then I'll go, oh, man, oh. And, yeah. So I guess at least for the drinking crowd, MMS is potentially a really big thing, as is using video on their iPhone.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean to say that MMS isn't important and shouldn't be there. I mean, it's just a kind of a standard phone feature, and I understand why, you know, everybody wants it. But I certainly jumped on that bandwagon, and I was just using myself as an example with that technology of being that person that is the guy going, oh, I want video chat. I want video chat. And then, you know, getting delivered video chat and never using it.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that there's definitely some opportunity for video in communication in the mobile space, for sure.
Yeah.
There are people who would totally use that and totally get a lot of use, like actual great use out of that feature. And it's one of those things that Apple just needs to put in there. And they, you know, they put video chat in every one of their portables and their computers, except for the Mac Pro.
Bless,
you know,
your heart, Michael.
What?
Even laptops are designed
heart,
to be used
Apple's
over Wi-Fi.
Can say those people can go get a Nexus One. I'm telling you.
I think eventually that Apple's going to put it in there, and I think that they just need to provide the opportunity for, you know, that market to discover itself, kind of like what they're doing with the iPad.
Michael, you're so pretty.
I know.
Apple has to differentiate between features that people say they won't buy unless it has this feature and features that people actually won't buy unless it has this feature. A lot of us say things, but then when the iPad comes out, we're going to buy it even though it doesn't have. I mean, everybody complains about Flash. Nobody has ever not bought an iPhone because of Flash that I know of. You know what I mean?
Right.
So something, a lot of people can make a lot of noise. It doesn't mean it's going to actually affect their purchasing decisions.
I think the lack of Flash did.
Survey, how many of us are going to pre-order an iPad?
I don't think I will.
And I will.
I will.
I don't want to be anywhere near one unless it has 3G, so I'll wait for that.
I think I'm waiting for the 3G.
Well, I'm getting the 3G one, but the question was, will I pre-order it? I'm going to pre-order it the minute I can put my order in, yes.
Yeah, I think
if
I'm going to get a 3G as well.
Are they going to do two separate pre-orders? It'd be interesting to see how they do this kind of two-stage rollout with the two devices.
I just figured they would do, I mean, my theory is if they're smart, they just launch pre-order for everything on the same day, and the people who order 3Gs are just waiting longer.
Yeah.
How are they doing this in the real world, though? Mm-hmm. I don't understand why they're rushing it. I mean, the 3G is the quote-unquote real one, the premium model, the more expensive one. Why roll out the crippled one first? It just doesn't... I mean, what are they in a hurry? Are they so afraid that Google's going to roll out a copycat beforehand?
Oh, it might be like a 3G, like an FCC thing or a...
That was why not hold I don't buy it, yeah.
Why not hold the non-3G one, roll them out on the same day?
What are you thinking, Adam?
Bill's point.
Well, I mean, you get a lot of negative publicity. A lot of people are going to buy the iPad and go to use it, and a lot of people are too dumb to know that the thing, you know, that you can't find Wi-Fi everywhere. If someone's never had a laptop, which a lot of people who buy this will be people that have an iMac or a Mini Tower, and they never had a laptop, they just don't understand that Wi-Fi isn't magically everywhere. It's some places. And they're going to buy the first iPad, and they're going to, you know, there's going to be a lot of complaints, and they go back to the Apple store and say, well, you can exchange it, but you have to wait another month, and it's extra $130. And it's just very, I don't know, maybe they're smarter than me, a lot of times they are, but this could really backfire, just the way they're rolling it out backwards.
Yeah.
It could. I don't think it's going to backfire, though, because I think there's a lot of people that will jump on the iPad bandwagon, and it won't matter to them that they don't have 3G.
Well,
because
doesn't
they're the kind of people that are going to use an iPad at home and at Starbucks.
But
and that's it.
The iPad 3G, the iPad 3G version also has GPS, right?
Right. And keep in mind, the people I'm talking about are the people that are going to use their iPad at home or at Starbucks. They don't need a GPS.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't care about 3G. All they know is they can have a latte.
They don't think they care about 3G. It's just like the iPod Touch user who buys a device and is really happy with it for about a month, and then they get gradually sicker of seeing their iPhone. And this was even like in Macworld with our team. We all had iPhones, and one guy had an iPod Touch. And we'd all pull out our iPhones and be doing something, and he'd be like, you know, he'd just look embarrassed because he realized he had a crippled fake iPhone that couldn't do anything outside of the hotel room or the press room. And, you know, I mean, you see so many iPod Touches on eBay, but that's their own fault. They know they could have bought an iPhone, so if they bought an iPod Touch and they're unhappy with it later, then they know that's their fault. They eBay it, they buy an iPhone. I don't know. It's just so weird. The whole thing is just weird.
So, Bill, what are you thinking? What are you thinking is the reason that Apple's rolling it out this way and they're not rolling them both out or rolling out the 3G first? Or is that something you're not sure about?
I'm assuming there's technical reasons, either AT&T or hardware, some reason that they're doing it in this order. I don't understand why they're not holding the non-3G one back. If it's only a few weeks, hold it back. Roll them out on the same day. They'd make more money that way, you know, on first-day sales. I really do wonder if they're afraid that someone else is going to get a tablet out there first and kind of steal their thunder.
Gotcha.
And they want to. Why are they rushing? I don't know. It seems like they announced this.
I have a slightly different theory.
Okay.
And my theory is, when they made the announcement, they had to do it then because the whole product line had been submitted for FCC approval, and they didn't want to risk having a leak. They want to capitalize on the consumer excitement and interest in the product. So knowing that they'll have their full approval for the 3G less model, the Wi-Fi only model, they're rolling that out first and then letting the 3G model roll out after they have all the approval and everything's ready to go. So I think this is all about capitalizing on that hype and interest that came out of the initial announcement, and that the people that really care about 3G are the ones that are going to wait anyhow. So they're going to catch a whole group of people initially, and then the people that know they need 3G, well, their interest isn't going to wane. So they're going to be able to catch both waves by doing the staggered release.
Yeah, I know I'm going to go in there and at least check out the iPad on the day one for sure. But I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be getting the 3G version, not because I know that I'm going to be using 3G, but because I feel like there's the chance that I'm going to be using it. And I think the GPS is, you know, might be useful. I just figure if I'm going to be getting an iPad, I might as well get the big one.
And see, I'm going to go with the top of the line Wi-Fi only model. And that's because the places I know I will be using the device where I need to have internet access are places that I will always have Wi-Fi available to me, or they are situations where I'm going to be with someone that has a MiFi,
mm-hmm.
and so I'll be able to hork their bandwidth.
Yeah,
And if I use this for a few months and realize, ooh, bad move. Okay, fine. I'll sell the Wi-Fi only model and then turn around and buy 3G. And I'll be totally willing to admit that I was wrong and move on.
You wonder if Apple is actually banking on some people doing exactly what you said. I mean, if you do that, you'll only lose $100 by eBaying it or something, but they'll get two sales from one person in a 3-month span, you know?
Right. And you know, and they may very well be doing that, and I may very well be falling right in line with exactly what they want.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. General Akbar's telling me to turn around and pull
back. These are not the pads you're looking for.
Move along.
Star Wars and Star Trek in one episode. We are so good.
And the universe just exploded.
Okay. All right. It's time for our iPhone picks. We've totally killed all of these topics. We're going to do our iPhone picks. Who wants to go first? Adam, do you want to go first?
Okay. I'm going to go first because I have no idea what I want to pick. No, actually, I think I'm going to pick something that came up. I've actually had on my phone for a while, but I hadn't really used it in a while. I had a listener who wanted to know, he's looking for a job and he wanted to be able to send out his resume as an attachment to an email. So not just like a link, because my immediate thought was, well, you can use MobileMe and you could attach a shared link, or you can use something like Dropbox, which is really great, and you can attach a shared link. They both have iPhone apps and you can generate an email. But he really wanted something that would be an attachment. So someplace he could put his PDF onto his phone and then send it as an email attachment. And so the app that I had is called AirSharing.
Oh, yeah, that's good stuff.
Oh, that's an awesome app.
Yeah, and so I tried another one. There's another one called Files, but I just didn't like it as much as AirSharing. So there's a bunch of these different apps out there, but I've had AirSharing on my phone for a while. I think it's like $2.99. They have a pro version. I'm not sure what the pro version offers that this one doesn't. But essentially, it sets up a little Bonjour, you know, web dev server on your phone when you launch the app. It gives you an IP address. You plug that into your Mac, go to under the Go menu, say go to server, plug in the address, and boom, it mounts on your Mac. You can drag files over to it, anything that the iPhone can read. So that'd be like PDFs, pages, documents, Word, Excel files, rich text documents. It'll even do, I think, web archives. So if you save stuff out of Safari as a web archive, you can throw that all on your phone. And then it's really simple. You pull it up. If you're looking at the document, it has a really nice user interface for browsing through the document on the phone. So if you just want to be able to read PDFs, this app's great for that. And then one click button, hit email, and it will email the file as an attachment. So it does it all, and it's pretty cheap. And just one of those nice little useful apps that if you ever need to get documents on your phone to take with you. And then you don't have to have a connection. You know, you don't have to be in the cloud. So if you, for some reason, don't have 3G, hey, it's going to work for you. Or you're on an iPod Touch.
Yeah, it's called AirSharing.
The emailing part will be kind of hard at that point.
Yeah, if you don't have any data, yeah. Okay, it's called AirSharing. It's $3.99.
Oh, $3.99.
And it's pretty cool. I've used it. I like it. I need to check it out. I haven't looked at it in a while. I've been using Files for a long time.
So that was the other one I looked at. What, just as comparison, I mean, what do you think? I've tried both now.
That's why I need to look at it, because I'm seeing screenshots for AirSharing, and it looks like it has some better stuff.
Files is a little bit prettier, but I have the Files Lite, which has the ads, and they're kind of ugly how they have them designed in the app. Wow. So, and I think the full version of Files, I want to say, is like $10. I think it's a little more expensive than, and I couldn't tell, you know, I probably should compare pro to pro.
Files is $5. AirSharing is $4.
Yeah. So pretty close in price.
Maybe I would go with AirSharing. It looks like it's better.
Yeah. Anyway, I already had it on my phone. So it was an easy one to go with.
That's a good pick. Jeff, would you like to go next?
Sure. Okay. So I've done like fun game stuff the past few shows. So I'm going to go back to my utility kind of world. And so this week I'm picking Number Key. And actually I'm using Number Key free. There's two versions, free and a paid version. And Number Key is a really cool little application that lets you turn your iPhone or iPod Touch into a digital keypad, like a numeric keypad. And this is really handy if you're using one of Apple's new keyboards that are the short ones that don't have the number pad on them. And it's also especially handy, and this is why I sought this out, if you use the Adobe Creative Suite apps, a lot of the keyboard shortcuts are based on the number pad. And you don't have that on the short keyboard. And you know how on the old MacBook Pros, you had the little num button that you could tap up in the function keys, and it would turn a section of the alpha keys into a number pad for you.
Yeah.
You don't have that on the laptops anymore. So if you are on the go working on a MacBook Pro and you want to use keyboard shortcuts in Creative Suite, you can't, at least a certain set of them, because there's no number pad at all. But with this, you can have this little Wi-Fi connection thing that just auto-configures itself, and then your iPhone or iPod Touch becomes that number pad for you, and it works perfect.
Yeah, this is perfect for like laptops and both the in the because the iMacs don't have the number pad either anymore, right?
Right, yeah. Right. If you want a number pad on an Apple keyboard, you have to buy one of Apple's extended keyboards, or you have to go to a third party company.
Get one of those.
And to me, this
things.
Is insane, because the Mac is the platform that you use for graphic design. So why in the world would Apple do this? Of course, they also made glossy screens a default, which completely screws up color calibration.
Yeah, we can get back into the conversation we were having a half an hour ago. Why is Apple doing this? Well, okay, so it's called Number Key Free. That's the one you're picking, right?
That's the one I'm playing with. And I honestly don't know the difference between the free one and the paid one. Other than
I was just looking at the paid one. Looks like it has the home, page up, page down, and keys as well.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that's cool.
And plus, it's from Balmuda Design. These guys, I don't know about their iPhone apps, but they make like crazy, really artsy stands for like,
oh, really?
MacBook Pros. Yeah, they're expensive, but they're gorgeous.
Well, yeah, the app looks great too.
Yeah.
So, and it's free. So, number pat or number key, one word, number cat. I can't speak. Number key. Free.
Free.
And
one
it
word.
Is free.
Well, number key is one word, free is a separate word.
Yes. And if you just search for it, it'll figure it out. So check it out. And Bill, do you have an iPhone pick for us this week?
No, of course not. Yeah, actually, I do. Just as a show of support for our earlier discussion, I'm going to pick the most sexually explicit app still available for the iPhone. It allows you to look at adult content from thousands of different popular sources, as long as they're not Flash-based. And you can display up to 8 different sources simultaneously within the app and get back and forth between them with a flick of a finger.
Can anybody guess what it is?
It's 100% free. It comes pre-installed on your iPhone. Look for it. It's there. I've heard it's on the iPod Touch, too, but I'm much
like you can I use said, Spotlight to find it.
See, I am so easy to entertain.
I have a singular wit. You know, no one laughed at home, but one person laughed on the show, so I call it a win.
You know, you entertained me, and in my world, that's all that really matters.
Mm-hmm. Has anyone
counted how many Star Trek lines I've worked into the show here? I'm at least 7 so far.
Really? You've been keeping a tally?
Yeah, I like to multitask. Mm-hmm. I go on the singular wit line, Star Trek 6, Bones, never mind.
You know, Michael, you should get some company to give you a couple codes for apps, and then have people tell you how many Star Trek references Bill made in the show, and give away the codes.
Probably made more than I even knew of.
Maybe next time.
Because don't you love how I'm setting you up to do stuff like that, and yeah. I'm committing you to yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's my I'm favorite.
No matter how far I go
thing.
Off the ledge, Jeff always backs me up. You know,
yeah.
Takes it further.
This is how
I'm
it works.
There for you.
This is how the sausage is made.
People aren't supposed to see that.
Mm-mm, not in the new app store anyway.
Wow, did that just jump the moon?
Okay, all right. Okay, so my iPhone pick, unless you have a secondary pick that you get in the App Store or something like that, my pick is iTeleport, which is previously known as Jadu VNC, and it is one of my absolute all-time favorite applications ever for my iPhone, and here is why. It allows me to check out my home computer or any computer that I own remotely on my phone from wherever I am. And, you know, I've shown this to a couple of people. I was at Macworld when I was doing this. I have a computer always on at home. All I have to do, I open up the app, tap on my computer, and then I'm seeing my computer screen, and I can do whatever I want with it. It uses the built-in VNC protocol in OS X, but it'll also work with you know, any VNC server. So if you have Windows, you can set up a VNC server there, and you can enter it in. So it has, if you're on the same network, it'll allow you to see all the computers on the same network that are running VNC, so you can connect to them right away. So it is just using the VNC client, although I believe there's a Windows remote desktop version of Jadu as well. But my favorite thing, aside from being able to access your computer from wherever you are, because it has this great little app that runs in the background that always updates the server and says, hey, it's over here now. Hey, it's on this IP address. But the interaction with Jadu is different from any other iPhone app, and for good reason, because you're not actually interfacing with a computer on another on iPhone applications. So the way you do it is kind of backwards from interacting, but it's completely natural and intuitive and fantastic. There are built-in gestures, so you can do two-finger scrolling through documents, for example, or web pages on your computer as you're looking through. You can send keystrokes through, of course, if you want. So, you know, if I'm in the other room and someone IMs me, I hear that noise and I just pop up Jadu VNC and I see who it is and I, you know, punch up my response. It actually, this is new in the last couple months. It includes the autocorrect stuff that the iPhone has. So initially it allowed you to send text just as you were typing it. So that meant that you could have spelling errors very easily, or, you know, mistypes and that kind of thing. This allows you now to type out as much as you want. It just types it on a little kind of halfway, you know, a spot that hasn't sent it yet. But once you hit send, it actually sends it. So you can type out your entire response with punctuation and autocorrect and all that great stuff, send it off, and it pushes it through the VNC. And it's just, it's seriously, it's one of my favorite applications. So if VNC, if remote desktop kind of stuff is something that you enjoy doing on your computer, then you should totally check out Jadu VNC. It's $25, and it's an actual $25 that I've personally spent with real internet money that I have. I didn't get it for free, so I think it's totally worth the money. $25 for a fantastic app. They just renamed it. It's iTeleport, and yeah, go check it out. I think, is there a, I don't know if you guys know if there's a light version of Jadu.
I don't think there is.
This is called Jaw.
It's called Jaw.
Jaw, yeah. Don't.
I keep calling it Jadu, but it is iTeleport. But if you search for Jadu in the App Store, you'll see both. There's a Jadu VNC for VNC, and there's also Jadu Remote Desktop for Windows. So you can, those are separate applications. But honestly, you know, whichever one you use, I prefer VNC. It's the best application for doing that kind of thing. So Jadu VNC, or also known as iTeleport. And with that, I will say that you can find us on iPhoneAlley.com/podcast if you're looking for podcast show notes or the picks that we have given you. iPhoneAlley.com/podcast is a place to get that. You can send your feedback to podcast@iPhoneAlley.com. And you can find Jeff Gamet on the Mac Observer at MacObserver.com and Twitter.com/JGamet. And you can find Adam Christensen on the MacCast at MacCast.com and Twitter.com/MacCast. And you can find Bill Palmer at the newly renamed BeatWeet magazine. BeatWeet magazine.
It's now a health food.
BeatWeet.
It changes by the hour.
Yeah, just make up a name.
Keep changing it until we hit on one that makes this world famous.
BeatWeet magazine, BeatWeek.com, and Twitter.com/Bill Palmer. You can find iPhone Alley at Twitter.com/iPhone Alley. And with that, another iPhone Alley podcast is done.
An iPod. A phone. She blamed Q for something.
For destroying her world or some.
I think she blamed Q for telling the Borg about her or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is so not the way I thought we'd start off today.
That's fine.
Well, you know why in Generations that those scenes were so short, right?
Why?
Because Patrick Stewart just hates Shatner.
Oh, whoa.
Really? He thinks his acting is so beneath him.
Oh. Well, it's the truth, it's but right still.
He's got a point.
Yeah.
No, I'm totally making that up.
Are you?
I was about to ask if that was confirmed or not.
No. I'm just making shit up.
I don't believe it. No.
Who wants a stylus? You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck. Yuck.
Bacaw!